You didn't want it on while I was singing. So, Nehemiah chapter 2. Picking up where we left off last week. Actually, we're going to go back a couple of verses and pick up at verse 9. Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 9 tonight. Nehemiah said, "So I went to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates and I gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officials and a cavalry with me. Then Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, and they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. And by night, I went out through the valley gate towards the jackal well and then the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. And then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. And finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had nothing, had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials or any others who would be doing the work. And then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we're in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace.' I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, 'Let us start rebuilding.' So they began this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. 'What is this you're doing?' they asked. 'Are you rebelling against the king?' I answered them by saying, 'The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start building. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it.'" Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, and I just thank you again for the pictures that you give us in your word, for the way your spirit speaks to our hearts when we ask you to speak to us. And Lord, that's what I'm asking tonight, is that you speak to our hearts, that Lord, you will open up our hearts to your Holy Spirit in such a way that things will just be so clear to us and so helpful in our walk, in our spiritual walk, Lord. I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your word again. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless it to our hearts. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we start out in verses 9 and 10. You recall last week we talked about how Nehemiah had gone. He didn't actually go to the king. He was serving the king, and the king asked him, why did he look so sad? And he confessed before the king that he was sad because Jerusalem was in ruins. The walls were in ruins, the gates had been burned, and it was in total disrepair. And he wanted to go and rebuild. And so the king said, that's a good thing, and I'll give you money. I'll give you safe passage. I'll even send the cavalry with you. That's a pretty good deal. But I think honestly, he had an ulterior motive in this, because he was so good to Nehemiah, hoping that Nehemiah would come back and continue to serve him. But anyway, that said, Nehemiah got the blessing of the king to be able to go. And in verse 9 it says this, "So I went." Now, those three little words mean something to me, because honestly, there's times that I don't want to go. There's times that God may put something on my heart and I just don't want to go. I'm confessing here. I'm confessing sometimes I know I ought to go do this, but I don't want to go. I wonder why Nehemiah went. Well, I believe it's because he had spent so much time fasting and prayer and asking God to do a work. And so when God opened the door, he was excited to go. Now, to me, that just says something about why we do and we don't go. Are we fasting and praying that God will open up doors for us? Open up doors for us to be able to go and share the gospel with people, which is our ministry, our commission that God has given us? Are we praying for that? Probably, no, not enough. Because I honestly believe that I'd be excited, more excited when God gives me that opportunity than we are right now. We just like, just let me stay kind of in this place where I am. God didn't want us to stay in that place. He wanted Nehemiah to go and do the repair. And so Nehemiah said, so I went. I like this little quote that I got out of a book. It says, many people have a heart touched like Nehemiah's. They may also have the heart for prayer, the wisdom, the vision, the plan, and the faith of a Nehemiah. But they stop short of actually going out and doing what needs to be done for the goal to become a reality. You know, we can say all we want to. We can talk about it. It's like that old illustration of the guys that used to go out fishing. And when they would catch fish, they would come back to the fishing lodge and they would tell everybody about their great catches. And boy, it became such a great time to be with all these guys that they started hanging around with all the guys and they quit fishing. They just met and they became a club and they started talking about the method. And they had people come in, seminars, the methods of fishing, the way to get ready for fishing, the bait to use for fishing, all these kind of seminars. The only problem was they never went fishing. And then one day this guy comes in that had never been fishing, asked what they were doing. They said, we're talking about fishing. He said, well, I'd like to go. And they looked at him and said, okay, we'll tell you how to do it and everything. And so he went out fishing and he came back and he had caught a large fish and everybody celebrated about it. But it wasn't long till he was a part of the group and they just continued to meet and talk about fishing, but they didn't go fishing. What does that remind you of? Yeah, that's the way most churches have gone. Have we been guilty of talking about something but not actually doing it? W.A. Criswell said this, sometimes we substitute talking about something for actually doing it. It's one thing to stand around with other believers and talk about doing some evangelism, praying about it, planning it, talking about it. But it's another thing to actually go out and do it. God is in the doing of the thing. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan. It doesn't mean, he did all those things. Nehemiah did. But then he did it. He said, so I went. Our spiritual enemies don't mind if all we do is plan and pray and talk. But when we start doing something, they take notice. Yeah. So verse 10 says, when Sanballat and Tobiah, official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. These were the enemies. When the standard was raised and Nehemiah came, Sanballat and Tobiah heard about it. And they were the scripture says they were very much disturbed. Now, you know why? Anybody know why? They were definitely trying to run and rule everything and taking from people every time they got a chance. They were very much disturbed, especially that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. Another reason they were very much disturbed is they didn't want the Israelites to get back to the power that they used to be, where God fought for them. And so they were totally against it. They were deeply disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. These two cared nothing as long as Jerusalem was weak and vulnerable. That way they could go in and take anything they wanted at any time. Notice when this opposition came, not at the heart stage or not at the vision stage or not at the prayer stage or at the planning stage, but when progress came in doing something, that's when the opposition came up. Swindoll says, some people fear ever stepping out for the Lord, because they know opposition will come. They somehow think their life will be better or easier if they stay in their low, mediocre state before God. What deception. A better life from holding back? Tough times are going to come anyway. But when we are growing and stepping forth in the Lord, we are far more equipped to deal with the enemy. What a statement, folks. It's just a reminder to us that if we're going to rebuild the walls, we got to step out in faith. We can't just stay like we are. Same old, same old, same old. Well, verses 11 through 16 is kind of the check. This is the inspection time. This is when he decides, okay, now this is what I'm going to do. Nehemiah makes a secret tour of Jerusalem and her walls. He set out from the west side through the valley gate, and then he turned left to go south. So the next slide is a picture of what Jerusalem looked like at this point, although those lines are not walls anymore. They're rubble of where walls used to be. And you see he comes out the valley gate, which is on the west side, and he turns and goes down toward the dung gate and around and makes the whole tour of Jerusalem at night. Now, he didn't have flashlights. They probably had a torch or two, but that's about it. But he's doing this so that he's not drawing attention to what his purpose is. He continued around Jerusalem until he returned back to the valley gate where he enters in. And so here's the challenge. Look at what verse 17 says. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in? Now, there's two words that I just want you to, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, these would be two to underline. The word we and the word us. He says, do you see the trouble we are in? It's interesting. Nehemiah just showed up. And yet he said we to the people that are there, because he was an Israelite. You see the trouble we're in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Remember, that was a rebuke when the gates are burned. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. You see, he took the time, first of all, to count the cost before he started the work. He could have just showed up and says, okay, man, look at that piece of wall right over there. Let's all go over there and start working on that piece. Not knowing whether or not anything else needed to be done. So my grandpa used to use this word. I don't even know how you spell it. Reconnoiter. Yeah. It's kind of a military term, I think. Yeah, recon. We go out and we check it out before we do what we're supposed to do. My nephew is a Navy SEAL, and he can't talk much about the stuff they do at all, right? But I do know this: they don't just haphazardly do anything. There is a plan for every single thing that they do. When they go in and do something, it's all planned out ahead of time, and even contingencies. So, I mean, in Nehemiah's mind, there's no doubt that he was going through this plan in his mind as God was giving it to him. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, I like this verse. It says this, Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, think about that verse, what it's really saying. Anybody says, yeah, I want to work for the Lord. I want to go out and, you know, and then turn around and quit doing it. That's the kind of people Jesus says, I'm going to spew out of my mouth. Nehemiah says, I didn't come here to take over. I didn't come here to just wallow in misery with you guys. I came here to do a job, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this job. And we're going to rebuild the walls. And he challenges them with this. He said, let us start building. And they even say back to him, yeah, let us start building. Now, you know what happens with those kind of people who say, yeah, yeah, let us start building. You go ahead. And I'll show up when I can. You could count on me, maybe. They replied, let us start building. So they began, the scripture says, this good work. Now Sanballat and Tobiah mocked and ridiculed them, because that's what the enemies of God always do, by the way. I guarantee you, folks, if nobody's saying anything bad about you, it's because you're not doing anything for God. But you get out there and start witnessing and start sharing with people and start telling them about Jesus, I guarantee you the enemy's not going to like it, and he's going to come down with all 4 feet, even though he's just got two. He's going to come down with all 4 feet and try to stop you some way or another. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to tear you down. He's going to try to discredit you, whatever else. And that's exactly what Sanballat and Tobiah tend to do the rest of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. They stand on the outside and they hurl the insults and they start talking bad about the people and start mocking them and making fun of them and going like, oh man, you're never going to get this done. You don't even have the resources. And all the stuff that they have to say, that's what Satan does. He mocks and ridicules. But Nehemiah answered, the God of heaven will give us success, and you have no share in Jerusalem. In other words, he put the squash on them. He said, listen, you can stand there and say all the stuff you want to, but let me just tell you this. It's not up to me, and it's not up to these people. It's up to the God of heaven, and he will surely do this. And by the way, you won't get any part in it. You see, folks, it doesn't matter if you're against us. God's work will succeed. That's what he's saying. It doesn't matter if you stand there and hurl insults and mockery and talk bad about us and make fun of us. God's work will succeed. I've read the end of the book, guys. Haven't y'all? It's going to succeed. Even though you might think that somehow it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. In fact, Romans 8:31, Paul reminds us. He says this, what then shall we say in response to all of these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Who could be against us? Where's that mindset? Where's that heart set in us? You know what, folks? If God has called us to go and to tell, then he will also empower us to go and to tell, and he will bring victory as we go and tell. But if he's called us to go and tell and we sit and stay and be quiet, where's the power in that? God's not going to use us. Nehemiah, what a guy. He was so full of God. He was so full of God's power. He was so full of God's love. God's looking for people like that. And he's called us to be those people. Let us start rebuilding. I think it's time. I think it's past time. You know how you rebuild a church? Get out of the way. Quit being selfish. Say, God, here I am, send me. And we start reaching people in this town who would never know Jesus unless we came and talked to them about it. Let's pray.